anxious to talk to you. I am so anxious to talk to you about the art that I've decided to back up so far to get there that I just not going to rush this. Joke.
Not going to rush you. I've got
tonight. I've got from now to eternity. I didn't hear one remark, but I said amen anyway. My brothers, I'm just going to start way back in the twilight and just keep going on. And then tonight, we're going to take a look at something in the book of Matthew. Then on Wednesday, Thursday night, we'll go back for some of the other matters. But tonight, if I could just impress you with the progress of what the Lord wants to do in your heart and how important the heart is. I think the only burden I've got tonight is to show you how important the heart is, brother. You may not learn a thing about it. If you learn it's important, that'll be enough. Praise the Lord.
Well, amen. Open hell, Edward. Amen. Very amen.
Praise the Lord. There are just many, many verses about the heart, and the ones I'm going to read are not them. Okay. Genesis 1:11 says, "Then God said, let the earth sprout vegetation, yielding vegetation, plants yielding seed, and fruit trees bearing fruit after their kind with seed in them on the earth. And it was so. And the earth brought forth vegetation, plant yielding seed after their kind, and trees bearing fruit with seed in them after their kind. And God saw that it was good." All right, brothers, here is seed. And you plant it, and it brings forth after its kind. Did you get that? All right, the seed is in the earth, it comes up, and there's after its kind. It falls in the soil, and then what comes up is after its kind. If it gets up, it's after its kind. You plant it, it'll come up, and what comes up will be after what's planted. It'll be like what's planted. I just consider that. I'm going to repeat it one more time. If the seed is planted, it's the proper seed, it goes in proper soil, it gets proper treatment, it comes up, it'll be just like that seed. It got planted. Praise the Lord, brothers. Praise the Lord. So a seed is important, is it not? And the soil is important, is it not? And the growth is important, is it not? And then when all that's correct, you'll have what? After its kind. That's heavy, brother. That's heavy. Okay. Then, brothers, I just want you to know something. We're in Genesis 2, or is it in 1? It's in 1:29. Now then, God speaks to man. "Then God said, Behold, I have given you every plant yielding seed that is on the surface of all the earth, and every tree which has fruit yielding seed, and it shall be food for you." Our brothers, in verse 30, "And I have given every green plant for food, that is to man, and it was so." Now, in this verse, you not only have the seed being planted and the vegetation coming up after its kind, but now God comes to man and says to man, "I give you the seed, and I give you the fruit that comes up from the seed. So I have given you the vegetation for food to eat. I have given you that which is after its kind for you to feed upon." Man was given the seed to eat, and from that seed he himself would be established in life. God gave the seed. The seed was planted, and what came up was after its kind, and God gave it to man. At this moment, you might not be overwhelmed with that, but I believe you will be in a moment. Praise the Lord, brothers. All fiddle. Sometimes this brook just gets in my way. I don't mean the brook as an all-inclusive thing, but I mean just holding this in my hand just bothers me. I'll tell you something real quickly. Brothers, God has ordained the seed to be of something very important.
Amen.
The seed is very important. The seed goes all the way through the scripture. Are you aware of that? Amen. All the way through the scripture is the seed. What is that seed? All right, in Genesis 1, there is fruit yielding after its kind. Then, brothers, according to all that we understand about the Word of God, the Lord Jesus Christ became a seed. In Genesis 2, no, it's 3:15, there was Jesus Christ became the seed of what? Anybody know? The seed of the woman. Then in Genesis 12, he became the seed of
Abraham.
Thank you, Dick. The seed of Abraham. Now, brother, that is repeated and verified for us in the New Testament in Galatians 3. Galatians 3 and in Genesis 12, Jesus Christ starts off as the seed of woman. He becomes the seed of Abraham. And then in 1 Samuel 7, he becomes, praise the Lord, the seed of David. Hallelujah, brothers. Well, praise the Lord, brothers. That's not where he stopped. That's not where he stopped. And I just want to go a little further. In Genesis 3, he's the seed of woman. Genesis 12, he's the seed of Abraham. In Galatians 3, it's verified. And then in 1 Samuel 7, he is the seed of David. And that's not all. And that's not all. All right. Well, what do you do with a seed? You plant it. What comes up? After its kind. After its kind. Then what do you do with it after it's come up? You eat it. I'm going to put in another. I'm going to put in something else before that. Brothers, you harvest it. And then after you harvest it, you eat it. Okay? Did you get all that? Oh, Gene, that's so simple. Why don't you go on something else? Because whether this is important, really important. God gave a seed. And that seed had life in it. And when it is properly planted, properly brought up, it will produce after it comes. Then after it is brought up, brothers and sisters, it is harvested. And after it is harvested, it is eaten. And after it is eaten, it produces in the eater after its kind, brothers and sisters. Now the Lord Jesus Christ is a seed to you and me. Jesus Christ is a seed to you and me. And the Lord Jesus Christ has got to be planted. And then after he's planted, something's got to happen. What happened? He's got to come up. And after he comes up, what happened? He's got to grow. And brothers, I'm going to just tell you this, that he has to have proper nourishment. Proper this, proper that. Can you tell me just what exactly a seed has got to have in order to grow? Water and light.
Fertilized soil.
And good soil. All right, let's just go through that. You got to have the seed. Seed's got to be planted, then it's got to have proper soil, then it's got to have water and light and air, and it'll come up. Praise the Lord, you harvest it. Brothers, you eat it. And God ordained that man would never eat anything except that which bears life after its kind. Brothers, in the scripture, there is the principle of first mention. And the principle of first mention is in Genesis 1. And God ordained that man never eat anything except that which is a seed that bears after its kind. And the only food that I am supposed to eat is food that is capable of bearing seed and producing life. You want to live a good, healthy life, brother? You want to live a good, healthy life? Then don't ever eat anything unless it's got life in it. Don't ever eat anything unless it's got life in it. Sisters and brothers, you were ordained to eat nothing unless it had life in it. It is a seed and it can produce after its kind. Praise the Lord. Now, you aren't supposed to eat anything except something that produces after its kind. That's all you'd eat. Well, praise the Lord.
Glory to God.
I don't think you're very impressed so far. I really just don't see a hope.
Oh, praise the Lord, brother Tom.
Praise the Lord. Okay. Praise the Lord.
I have
that notion in mind, brother. I have that notion in mind. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. All right, I just think I will. Just a little bit further.
Praise the Lord.
I'm going to just tell you a little bit. Okay? There are beginning books. Can you name me two beginning books?
Yeah.
What's another one? Matthew, what's another one?
Revelation.
I would say there are three or four basic beginning books. One is Genesis. Another one has got to be the book of John. Another one has got to be Matthew. And I would agree without question that the book of Acts is a beginning book. All of them have first principles in them. And I would say if it's not in Genesis, don't bother with it. And if it's not in Matthew, don't bother with it. If it's not in John, forget it. And if it's not in Acts, brother, I'll tell you where it is. It's in Babylon.
It's in Babylon.
It's very true. It's in Babylon. Praise the Lord. All right, but there is progress in the Scripture. There is progress in the Scripture. And if you will notice, there is a seed that is planted in Matthew. There is a seed planted in Matthew. Praise the Lord. That seed grows. That seed grows in the book of Acts. See, I tell you, I'm going to share this secret. This is really what I was planning on talking about during August. And I never been talking about it. And I'll send that a year from now, I'll tell you why, okay? All right. Praise the Lord. In Matthew, a seed was planted. Now then, in the book of Acts, it begins to grow, brothers. And then in the epistles, it matures. Praise the Lord. Now, brother, I can give you a passage of Scripture, and I'll tell you where, brothers. Yeah, let me read it to you. Somebody mentioned the book of Revelation. There it goes. Oh, praise the Lord. You've never heard this before. And I looked, and behold, the Lamb was standing on Mount Zion, and with him 144,000 having his name and the name of his Father written on their foreheads. And I heard a voice from heaven with the sound of many waters and like the sound of loud thunder. And the voice which I heard was like the sound of harpists playing on their harps. And they sang a new song before the throne and before the four living creatures and the elders. And no one could learn the song except the 144,000 who had been purchased from the earth. These are the ones who have not been defiled with women, for they are celibate. And these are the ones who follow the Lamb wherever he goes. And these have been purchased from among men as first fruits to God, and to the Lamb. I don't want to go into this a whole lot, but brothers, the seed was planted in Matthew. It grows in Acts, it matures in the epistles, and it's harvested in Revelation 14. Praise the Lord. There is the planting of the seed, there is the growth of the seed, the maturing of the seed, and there's the harvest of the seed. And I'm just going, and all of this has got to do with the heart. All of this has got to do with the heart. My brother Jonathan and I were talking the other day, and Jonathan just didn't know I had any plans about any of this, and he said, "Gene, begin, let's talk to the heart." My response was, "Brother, I tell you, there could be 20 messages brought on the heart." And I said, "Just really 20 messages on the heart, nothing else." And Jonathan said, "At least 20 messages on the heart." Brothers, the heart is really, really important. Well, there is a seed planted. It grows up, its heart, and it matures, and it's harvested. That seed is the life of the Lord Jesus Christ, and it produces after its kind. Okay, now then, brothers, we're going to take the book of Matthew tonight, as it's the seed. It's the seed. Acts, we'll talk about sometimes. The epistles will touch sometimes. But tonight, Matthew, as the seed that grows up in life and produces after its kind. Now then, I'd like to just read a passage of Scripture or two about the book, about the heart. Now, I just said two or three little things about the heart last night. I'd like for any brothers in here who think they could to repeat some of them. Howard, thank you.
Some of the Scriptures.
No, any comment I made last night about the heart, brother.
You said one thing about whatever goes into the heart is going to
flow out.
Right. Anything that goes into the heart's going to flow out. All right, what else? It is the very entrance of man and the very exit of man. Okay? Our treasures are stored in the heart. All of our, what we really treasure is in the heart, brother. We always, ultimately, will speak from our heart. We might not say hi from the heart. We might not say bye from the heart. But ultimately, our heart will out in our mouth. Praise the Lord, sister. It needs to be purged. We won't get into all that later. Right now, tonight, just the importance of the heart. Brother and sister, your heart's important. And I will explain to you why in a moment. Yes, brother?
That's the place we have to guard because that's where the living rot water is.
Praise the Lord. According to Proverbs 4:23, guard your heart. Guard your heart because out of it flows the springs of life. The heart needs to be guarded. For it is the entrance and the exit of man's being. All right, now then, we're going to deal just a little bit with the book of Matthew because it talks about the heart so much. It really talks about the heart a great deal. And it talks about the heart in relationship to a seed, and that's why I had to talk about the seed. All right, brothers and sisters, let's turn to the book of Matthew, the fifth chapter, which we're all so familiar with. All right, brothers, I believe if we will look in Matthew, is it 5, 6?
5, 6
is where I want to begin. No, it's not either. Yeah. Nope, it sure isn't. 3. Blessed are the poor in spirit, for those is the kingdom of heaven. Blessed are the pure in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Blessed are the pure in heart, for they shall see God. Blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. And in verse 8, blessed are the pure in heart, for they shall see God. Now, is there a relationship between these two verses of Scripture? Brothers, is there a relationship here? There must be, huh? They probably so. All right, you must be pure in spirit. And you must be pure in heart. If you are poor in spirit, what do you get? And if you're pure in heart, what do you get? You get the God, praise the Lord. All right, this is Brother Dick, and I'm not going to pick on Dick a whole lot like I pick on a lot of people, but Dick, I'm going to pick on you a little bit.
Praise the Lord.
Well, what does it mean to be poor in spirit?
Well, I believe it means to be bankrupt in spirit. I mean, you don't look within and try to possess anything as your own, but you recognize that everything you have is from the Lord.
Praise the Lord. This brother is just a surprising brother. I like the word bankrupt. That's just perfect. You got to have a bankrupt spirit. When you're bankrupt, how big is your bankroll? They're all. You need to have, I'm going to use another word in order to use one word and cover it. You need to have an absolutely empty spirit. It's got to be empty. Or even better, it's got to be blank. Because the Lord Jesus Christ wishes to fill it. And it cannot be filled with anything else. If it is, brothers, you're going to have problems. Your spirit needs to have nothing in it but the Lord. And for that to happen, it first needs to be crushed and broken. And everything else is let out and poured out. You break a wineskin and everything pours out. You need an empty spirit. Now, Gene, why would you mention the spirit in relationship to the heart? For this reason, they are closely related to one another. Therefore, I would say you've got to have an empty spirit. Now then, you also must have a pure heart. But I think it's going to take just a moment for me to make some of this very, very clear. So I would like for somebody to read for us, please, 1 Peter 3:4. This will help us to see the relationship of the spirit and the heart.
1 Peter 3:4. But let it be the hidden person of the heart, with the imperishable quality of a gentle and quiet spirit, which is precious in the sight of God.
Praise the Lord, brother. Praise the Lord. Now then, I want you to tell me, according to this passage of Scripture, would you read it again?
Really?
It really is. It gets better the more you consider it, brother.
Yeah.
But let it be the hidden person of the heart.
Right, there's a hidden, somebody hidden in the heart, okay?
Hallelujah.
With the imperishable quality of a gentle and quiet spirit, which is precious in the sight of God.
Praise the Lord. All right, brother, is there anybody who has another translation besides this one? Yes, brother.
Well, let it be the hidden man of the hearts, in that which is not corruptible, even the ornament of a meek and quiet spirit.
All right, brothers, I just...
In the sight of God, it'll be a triumph.
No, all right, praise the Lord. Brothers, there is here then a heart with a hidden man in it.
Amen.
Who's the hidden man? Jesus Christ is hidden inside the heart. Where does he dwell?
In the heart. The heart.
He's hidden in the heart. He is dwelling where? In our spirit. Wow, brothers. Wow. Now then. I tell you, I praise the Lord. I am just lost with this new book of mine, but you're going to help me because it's in Colossians. It says, letting Jesus Christ be where? Dwelling you where? Dwell in your heart, that you might be what?
Real.
Huh? That you might be rooted and grounded in love. Now, brothers, all I want to say this is, Paul gives an admonition that Jesus Christ get out of your spirit and that he grow into your heart and that there be some rooting and some grounding. Now then, I just want to say to you that Christ is in the spirit that is in you. Brother, he's there as a seed.
Amen.
He's there as
Amen.
A seed. And he wishes to grow into the heart. He wishes to grow into your heart. He wants to grow into your heart.
Amen.
He's a seed, brother. Where has he been planted? In your spirit, brother. Now, why is the heart so important? Because it is the nearest thing to your spirit. And it can only, the seed can only grow as the heart makes room. Only as the heart makes room can the spirit grow. Boy, I need a passage of scripture more than I need anything in the world right now. And I can't find it. But I can tell you what book it's in. It's in the book of Philippians. And I just can't find it. Oh, brother, listen, I can't think of a single word right now to hang it on. And I know I wrote it down here. I know I did. Well, praise the Lord. I may just have to do without it. Praise the Lord. I just will do without it. I just don't see the note that I wrote somewhere. No, brother, it's not. I'm sorry. I didn't write it down. That's my problem. I did not write it down. Brothers, it says something. Oh, let somebody read Ephesians 3:17, would you? That'll do. Ephesians 3:17, same thing. That'll do. Ephesians 3:17.
So that Christ may dwell in your hearts through faith.
Amen.
And that ye being rooted and grounded in love.
Come, go to door.
No, that's all right, brothers. That Christ may make what?
Your.
No, it is not dwell. It is not dwell. Just mark that out. That is not good. That Christ may make home in your heart. That you might be rooted and grounded in love. All right, brothers, Christ wants to make home in your heart. He can't do it if you have an impure heart. So, first of all, I would say you got to have an empty spirit. Brothers, empty your spirit of all things except the Lord, and then purify the heart. Let the heart be pure. Now, brothers, how can you purify the heart?
How do you do that?
That's what we're here for tonight. We're here to find out, brothers, that the heart has got to be pure of everything. The Lord is going to have to purge our heart. Brothers, when we got saved, we did not have a pure heart. We got Christ in our spirit, but we did not get a pure heart. The Lord's going to have to work in us some to get a pure heart. But anyhow, you got to empty your spirit. You got to purify your heart right now so that the Lord Jesus Christ may make home in your heart. Okay, we'll now go just a little bit further into the book of Matthew. Will you turn with me?
That Philippians 3.1.
What does it say, brother? I believe that's it.
Who will transform the body of your humble state into this infirmity with the body of your glory by a church not a priority yet?
That's close, but that's not it. Thank you very much. That's all right. We'll go on. Okay. The book of Matthew. In Christ. That's not it either. It's okay. I really appreciate it. Brothers, would somebody turn now? Would you all turn with me to Matthew 6? Because we have progress here. Matthew 6. But the Lord, you know, one day we shall look at all of this again and be much, much more clear. The first time is never easy. In Matthew 6:21, for where your treasure is, there will your heart be also. Now verse 20 says, but lay up for yourselves treasures in heaven, where neither moth doth destroy and where thieves do not break in and steal. Now brothers, where should your treasure be? Where is your treasure? Where should your heart be? Right. The heart has to be in heaven, brother. Now you ask, how do you get your heart pure? Brother, take it to heaven. Take it to heaven. First of all, brothers, I would say get it where the heavenlies are. That we have nothing to do with the earth. Our heart was made for heaven and heavenly things. And we ought to have no interest in earthly things. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Amen.
Lord, our heart be going to heaven.
All right. 11:29, brothers. 11:29. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I am gentle and humble in heart, and you shall find rest for your souls. Take your yoke upon you and learn from me, for I am gentle and humble in heart, and you shall find rest for your souls. All right, brothers, the Lord Jesus Christ has a humble and a gentle heart. If you have a hearty heart, the heart is improper, and the spirit is damaged in its effort to put Christ into your heart. Do you see this? You must turn from a haughty heart. Now, can you recognize a haughty heart? Is it possible for you to recognize a haughty heart? Oh, brother, it's just so simple. Just arrogance, tough-mindedness. I can handle this. Just stand back. Just watch me. John Wayne II. Tough. Strong. Brothers. But a humble heart, I'm just not sure I'll make it. Very meek, very tender. The Lord has got to have in us a tender heart. The heart's got to get tenderized, brother. I'll tell you, brothers, it is, I know, we are so, I've said this before, in this country, we're so proud of the man who's strong. That is a badge in this country. We are really look up to the strong man. We don't like the weak man. We really don't like the weak man. And I, quite frankly, brothers, then neither one of them are worth the toot. The strong man and the weak man come from the same tree, brother. And they come from the same seed. And that seed produces after its kind. The weak man and the strong man come from the same source. But brothers, a strong man broken.
Wow. The world can't deal with him. A strong man broken. Well, who is the strongest man who ever lived? The Lord Jesus Christ. Brothers, he could have done anything. He could have done anything. He did one day. He grew a fig tree and grew up. He said, I don't like that fig tree. And it withered.
It withered. But then, brothers, in other cases where he could have done so much, he was just, he gave in. He lost. He gave up. You deal with him, and sometimes you just have to encourage him along. He's just very humble about the whole thing.
The Lord has got to have such a humble heart in us. A really humble heart. Okay. Praise the Lord. We're going to get a little clearer as we go along. Okay. Then for the record, Matthew 12, 34 and 35, out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaks. Out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaks. Now, all of that was to bring us to the most important chapter that we have to consider. And here is where we're going to light. Praise the Lord. All right. I'm going to read you something, brothers. This is where it's at. This is Matthew 13. Praise the Lord.
No, lawyer.
On that day, Jesus went out of the house and was sitting by the sea, and a great multitude gathered about him, so that he got into a boat and sat down, and the whole multitude was standing on the beach. And he spoke many things to them in parables, saying, the sower went forth to sow. And he sowed some seeds, fell beside the road, and the birds came and devoured them. And others fell upon the rocky places where they did not have much soil. And immediately they sprang up, because there was no depth of soil. But when the sun was risen, they were scorched, and because they had no root, they withered away. And others fell among the thorns, and the thorns came up and choked them out. And others fell on the good soil and yielded a crop, some 100-fold, some 60, and some 30.
Hallelujah.
He who has the Bible to read, let him read this.
He who has ears to hear, let him hear. He who has ears to hear, let him hear. Okay?
By the way, he quoted a verse of Scripture in verse 14, which he begins moving toward his point. It's a quotation, brothers. I believe the quotation is out of the book of Isaiah. And in this case, for the prophecy of Isaiah is being fulfilled, which says, you will keep on hearing, but you'll not understand. You'll keep on seeing, but you'll not perceive. For the heart of this people has become dull. And with their ears, they scarcely hear. Brothers, the heart is in front of the ear. The heart is in front of the eyes.
Amen.
The ear is not the outer organ. Brothers, the heart's the outer organ. The eyes are not the outer organ. The heart's the outer organ. Brother, if you've got the heart, you'll hear. If you've got the heart, you'll see. But if the heart is dull, you're not hearing, you'll not see, you'll not perceive. For they have closed their eyes, lest they should see with their eyes and hear with their heart, their ears, and understand with their hearts and turn again. All of these are principles. And I want to say again, Matthew is just a seed. The whole book of Matthew is a seed. We're talking about seeds, but there's seeds within seeds. Matthew is a seed. Acts is a growing. The epistles are maturing. Revelation is a harvest. And here is a seed of a principle about the heart. The heart must turn. The heart must turn. The principle of the heart is it has to be turned. Okay. Praise the Lord. And I would heal them. But blessed are your eyes, because, let's just say amen to all this. We're going to take this. But blessed are your eyes, because they see. And your heart, because your ears, because they hear. For truly I say to you that many prophets and righteous men desired to see what you see, and did not see it. And to hear what you heard, and did not hear it. Praise the Lord. Then hear the parable of the sower. When anyone hears the word of the kingdom and does not understand it, the evil one comes and snatches away that which was sown there in his heart.
All right, here's the verse, brothers. Here's the verse. Where is the seed sown? Well, brothers, that's why I read that act. Is the seed in the heart or in the spirit? Brothers, I'll tell you, it's in the spirit and the heart, because the spirit is the seed. The spirit is the seed that gets sown. Where?
Into the heart. Now you got it? The spirit is sown into the heart. This, what is the spirit? The seed. And what is the seed? The Lord.
Wait a minute, you got a problem. You got a problem. You got a problem. If the seed is the Lord Jesus Christ, then who is the sower?
The Lord Jesus Christ, according to this parable, now perhaps not according to another one, but according to this parable, I believe the Lord Jesus Christ is the sower. He is also the seed. Now, then, my brother, I want to ask you something. What do you do with a seed when you plant it in the ground? You bury it, you water it, it comes up. Do you teach it?
No.
Do you come down and throw a little seed, grow? No, you do not. You nourish it. You take care of it and you nourish it. Brothers and sisters, the Lord Jesus Christ is a seed which has been grown into you. And in that seed is everything. That seed is going to come up if you give it a chance. Do you know what's in that seed? I'll tell you what's in that seed. Our trunk's in that seed. A cat root is in that seed. There's a leaf in that seed. There's a limb in that seed. There's a branch in that seed. There's bark in that seed. And brothers, there's fruit in that seed. All you gotta do is nourish the seed. Don't pinch it. Just grow it, nourish it, let it grow. Praise the Lord. Brother, pay attention to the seed and to the heart.
Okay.
And the one on whom the seed was sown on the rocky place, this is the man who hears the word and immediately receives it with joy. Brother Jonathan, you got to pay attention to the word joy. All right. Yet he has no firm root in him, but is only temporary. And when affliction and persecution arise because of the word, immediately, he's caused to stumble. And the one on whom the seed was sown among the thorns, this is the man who hears the word, and the worry of the world and the deceitfulness of riches choke the word, and it becomes unfruitful. And the one on whom the seed was sown on the good ground, this is the man who hears the word and understands it, who indeed bears fruit and brings forth some 100-fold, some 60, some 30, and I would add one last phrase, after its kind. After its kind.
All right. Now, I'm not going to stop here. I really, really, really just would like for you to notice that there's some other parables in here, and every one of them has to do with the same thing. In verse 31, there is a man who sowed seed in the field, and he sowed a mustard seed, and a plant came up. Then in verse 33, the kingdom of heaven is like a woman who took 3 pecks of meal, which were all leavened, and she made flour out of it. And then he explains in the rest of this passage the parable of the tares. This is where the man sowed and the wheat came up. Now I want you to get the order of this. There is the sower who comes and sows seed on the good soil.
and the rocky soil and so forth. Then there is another one about the sower and the tares who plants wheat, and the wheat comes up. Then there is another one about a woman who makes bread. And then, brothers, one more parable here. The kingdom of heaven is like a treasure hidden in the field, which a man found and hid, and for joy over it he goes and sells all that he has and buys that field. Now then, in this one we have a treasure hidden in a field. And finally, brothers, there is another parable. The kingdom of heaven is like a merchant seeking a fine pearl. When he finds one of great value, he goes, sells all he has, and he buys it. So there is another parable, and that's the parable of the pearl. And the pearl produces, the pearl is what the man sells everything for. Okay. Yeah, I sure will. In a word. Okay. The kingdom of heaven is what existed at the time the Lord Jesus Christ spoke this. Because in reality, the kingdom of heaven had not yet come to earth. The kingdom of God is the kingdom of God in heaven and on earth. But if God does not have the earth, he only has the kingdom of heaven. But when men see the kingdom of heaven, they do what is done here. There's the message of the kingdom of heaven. It is being brought to earth. Do you follow this? Then a man gets it finally. And then, brothers, when men get it, it's the kingdom of God. Amen. When men get it, it's the kingdom of God. When did the kingdom of God come to earth? Really come to earth, huh? On the day of Pentecost, the kingdom of heaven came to earth. And on that day, the kingdom of heaven was established on earth. And brothers, you are seeing only the first fruits of the kingdom of heaven upon this earth. You are seeing the kingdom of God. What is the church? It is the first fruits of the kingdom of God on earth. You ought to have to pay me $15,000 for all that. Because you now know what probably not a single theologian in America knows. $15,000 you owe me right now. Who really goes out of their mind with joy in the Lord. I am a little fearful. I am a little fearful. Brother Jonathan, I believe you understand what I'm speaking of. Because so much has been dropped off, so much has been dumped, so much helpfulness has come. Salvation has come. And oh, I thank you, Lord. You took away my sins and you gave me forgiveness. And the soil is so soft on the top, brothers. And if you know anything about farming, the closer a seed is to the top, the faster it will spring up and it will be the fastest growing of all. But brothers, it grows so fast on top, it doesn't grow on the bottom. And soon, the sun hits. What happens? It withers away under the blast of what? Heat of the what? Not persecution. Tribulation of the what? Of the word. Do not misunderstand that passage. Do not misunderstand that passage. That does not mean because you got saved, people persecute you and you drop. No, 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 no. Thank you, Granny. I tell you, that is the tribulation the word causes you, brothers. You put a seed in a soil, and it's going to start breaking the soil up to get out. And it's going to move some things around, and the soil is going to go, ooh. Brothers, when the Lord Jesus Christ comes into you, he hurts.
Amen.
Now, I wish you to get this clear. If you are going to have the Lord grow in you, it's going to hurt.
Amen. Amen.
The Lord is going to hurt you, loser.
Yeah, thank you, Jesus.
Brothers, we have to survive the joy stage. Amen. And get into the hurt stage.
Amen.
Otherwise, the soil is no good. Brothers, I have tried to talk to you all as though we were just young Christians, new beginning. I don't know if you still remember that. I would just say to you, pretend you're a new Christian. You've got to have a good soil, a heart that will not only receive the seed with joy, but let it hurt you. and let the Lord Jesus Christ hurt you? Are you ready to let the Lord Jesus Christ hurt you?
Amen.
The Lord Jesus Christ is going to hurt you, brother. The more he makes room in the heart, the more he's going to hurt. And if you're not ready, you just rejoice in the Lord of salvation. Glory, glory, glory. Then when the word hits you with heat, you're going to scream. You're going to scream. You're just going to scream. I've been trying to tell the brothers here for 2.5 years, Jesus Christ hurts.
He's not all fun and ice cream.
Well, I've only experienced all love from the Lord Jesus. I thought that was the Holy Spirit getting me.
It is, brother.
It is. But I tell you, the Lord's tricky. The Lord is tricky. He'll come to you in love and life.
Yeah.
And he'll just be so good to you, brother. And you'll just enjoy him so much. Then one day he says, I want a seed that bears after its kind. I want a seed that bears after its kind, and I'm going to break through your heart. I want you in my image.
Is he saying that?
You bet your life, Luther. He sure is. And Luther, he'll hurt you, and he doesn't care. And brother, it depends on the heart whether or not we survive. Brothers, we need to bring this heart to the Lord. They say, Lord, hurt the heart. Lord, hurt the heart. Get me past the joy stage. Hurt me if you want to, Lord. Okay. Then the third state, the third group where the seed fell. What is it, brother? The thorny soil. Okay. What does the thorny soil do?
Crowds out.
And I'm going to reverse that in just a moment. What is the thorn?
The world.
Not just the world. It's the world. It's killers. And it's riches. Some people get past the hurt stage and the seed actually comes up. And brother, praise God. For a while, there's just a beautiful growing plant there. You just, it just, it's made it. Praise the Lord, it's up. And it's there.
Praise the Lord.
But then, brothers, somewhere down the line, you come to the point where maybe you lost a little of the joy of the Lord. And here are the pleasures of the world, the riches. And soon we take the Lord and our riches. Or the cares begin to come, the cares of making a living. And we go and we give our first attention to the cares of the world. Or what's the third one? It's just the world itself. The world just gets us. But brothers, let me tell you something. That's not what causes it. That's not what causes the plant to not make it. What causes the plant to not make it is the choking. Is the choking. I don't know if you see this or not, but what the parable is trying to say here is the Lord wasn't given enough room. He wasn't given enough room. You see, brothers, the Lord can begin to move into the heart. But if he's got to step over a chair and a table and a house and an automobile, and if all of these things are also stuffed into the heart, there's more than just the Lord in the heart. The heart is just piled full of other things. Do you see? And my heart is not pure.
Then
he cannot grow. He cannot grow. The seed just can't get out through the soil because there's so much in the soil. All right? Are you following me?
Amen.
Yes, brother.
What about salvation?
Oh, no, brother. No, we sure not. We are talking about the kingdom of God. We are talking about the kingdom of God. I tell you, I don't know about the first group. You could have a theological discussion over are the first group saved or not. It's kind of hard to say. But the second group, third group, these people know the Lord. But there is not the growth of the seed in the soil and the coming up after its kind. All right. Now then, brothers and sisters, Are you still with me? You go, oh, praise the Lord. Okay. The fourth group falls on good soil. He who has an ear to hear, hear. He who has an eye to see, see. What happens in the fourth group? It grows. It grows how much?
To maturity.
Praise the Lord. And it does what? It grows up to produce. What does it produce? Praise the Lord. And it produces what? A harvest, brother. There's a harvest there. And some seed produces how much? 100. How much is others? How much others? 30. Well, does that have anything to do with soil? I just don't know. I just don't know, brothers. I can tell you one thing. I look at that and I say, Lord, if you want a rich soil, if that's what it takes, I'll be happy with 30. I'll be so rejoiced at 60. But Lord, I want 100.
Amen.
Lord,
amen.
I want 100-fold. 100-fold of your seed growing up out of me. After your kind.
Amen.
All right, brothers, all of this depends on the heart. Brothers, the first group, the heart was just too hard to receive it. The second group are those who receive the Lord, but receive him in the emotions, but will not let the Lord work in the will and in the mind. You've got to let the Lord get past the emotions and deal with you in your will and in your mind. The third group, brothers, are those who have a soil with so much other things in it other than the Lord Jesus Christ. The soil has got to be purged until there's room for nothing but the Lord.
Amen.
Praise the Lord, brothers, of good soil will not grow anything but Christ. Do you see? The good soil can't grow anything but Christ.
Amen.
It can't grow thorns. It can't grow thistles. It can't grow a weed. It can only grow Christ. Oh, brothers, I just say to you, go to the Lord and say, Lord, give me a heart that won't grow anything but Jesus Christ.
Amen.
Nothing but the Lord Jesus Christ. Praise the Lord.
Amen.
Well, that's not the end. Now, brothers, that's not where the Lord takes us. Those parables are not wasted. The Lord had a purpose in them. I would just like to tell you about the other three parables right quickly. The next parable is the parable of the sower who went to sow and the tares, and the wheat came up, and with it came up tares. Now, I'm not going to talk about this. Tares and wheat look very much alike. But the wheat came up, but alongside of it came up those who are not wheat at all. They look like wheat. They taste like wheat, but they weren't wheat. They're poison. But the wheat came up. The next parable, brothers, is the parable of a woman making bread. And the next parable is the parable of a treasure hidden in the ground. And the next parable, brothers and sisters, is a parable of the pearl. Our brothers and sisters, the book of Matthew is a seed. It too is a seed. There is progress here, brothers. There is progress here, sisters. First, a seed is planted in the ground, then it comes up. The second parable, we have the wheat, and the wheat has come up for harvest. It has now fully matured despite the tares. It has fully matured despite the tares. Then, brothers, when it has come up out of the heart of the believer, what happens to it? What happens to it? It's harvested. And what does the woman do in it? Yeah, I'm going to skip over all the Plymouth Brethren teaching about the yeast and all that. I want you to get the main point, because this is beyond that. What does she do with it? She makes a loaf of bread. Why would the Lord want, brothers and sisters, why would the Lord Jesus Christ want? Why does he want you to grow up a seed? Huh?
Be one loaf.
So we can be a loaf of bread together, brothers and sisters. The heart eventually will bring you to the body of Christ.
Amen.
I tell you, brothers, here is the test of the heart. Does it bring you to the body of Christ? Praise the Lord. And then, brothers, after you get to the body of Christ, is the next parable. What is your attitude toward the body of Christ? Here again, you still see the heart. The heart is still being seen here. Here's the heart.
Sister and brothers, I will give you a measurement of your heart. I will give you a measurement of your growth in the Lord. What is your attitude toward the church of the Lord Jesus Christ? The man found the field, and in it was what?
Treasure.
What was the treasure?
He buried in...
It was buried. It was buried. It was buried. Where is it buried, brothers? Yes, brother, in the heart. What is that treasure? Brother, that treasure is not the Lord Jesus Christ. That treasure is the church. Because buried in the Lord Jesus Christ is the church. There is the Lord, there is His Spirit, and there is His church in His Spirit. And it is buried in your heart. And brothers, not everybody finds out the treasures in the field. Not everybody knows that treasure's in the soil. But brother, when you find it, what do you do? You take everything you've got and you go and you buy it. You buy the treasure that's in the soil. Now then, brothers, this is the transforming work of the Lord. This is where the seed begins to bear an image after its kind. For the treasure that is in that box, hidden in that soil, is in the image of the seed that was planted. Now, praise the Lord, brother, when you open the box and you look in it, what is it?
Pearl. Praise the Lord. It's a pearl. The merchant found the pearl.
There has now been a complete transformation. I don't know what you know about the Bible, but if you know anything about the Bible, you got to know that that pearl is nothing less in the church of the Lord Jesus Christ.
Kevin.
That's not the Bible. Here, sister, I would read that. Again, the kingdom of heaven is like treasure hidden in a field, which when a man hath found it, he hideth, and for joy goes and sells all that he has and buys that field. Again, the kingdom of heaven is like a merchant man seeking a fine pearl. And when he found one pearl of great price, he went and sold all that he had, and he bought it. And again, the kingdom of heaven is. Sister, it isn't heaven. It isn't heaven. It's the kingdom of heaven. And this is a man on earth. I know. I got taught the same thing you did. I'm going to go to heaven someday, and for heaven, I'll sell everything. Sister, the Lord Jesus Christ is not interested in my going to heaven. I opened a book one time put out by Dallas Theological Seminary. I told Brother John this one day, and it said there is no teaching anywhere in the Scripture. Now, this is the very pillar and citadel of orthodoxy. There is no Scripture anywhere in the Bible that teaches that man goes to heaven.
Jesus said, I go to prepare a place for you.
Yes, that is correct. That is really true. And do you know where that place is?
And I will come again and...
And I will receive you into myself. There where I am, there you may be also. But now, sister, I want to ask you a question. What book's that in? It's in the book of John. And the book of John is a self-contained book. And the book of John ends with the Lord Jesus Christ still on earth, but with that promise fulfilled. He said, in my Father.
In my Father's house.
In my Father are many abodes. Within my very Father is many abodes, and I go to prepare a place for you. And when I come again, I will receive you unto myself, that where I am, there you may be also. I believe, sister, and I don't have time to go through Matthew 15, 16, 17, 20, and 21, but sister, on the day of resurrection, the Lord Jesus Christ ascended to the Father.
And when he did, according to Psalms, Ephesians, according to his own word there, he took you and me with him. And he prepared a place in God for us. And he took us to God. Now, wait a minute. Then, sister, that same day, he brought God down to earth. Sister, I know the King James Version of the Bible, but that's what Jesus was talking about. He was not talking about heaven. He was talking about John 17. I am in the Father, and the Father is in me. And where I am, there you will be. And where you are, there I will be. He was talking about nothing less than bringing God, the very God of heaven, into man.
Well, didn't he say that he went and sit at the right hand of God and he sent the Holy Spirit?
Sister, this is very interesting. What happens after that? Okay. Here's the end of the Bible. And this is the very end. Here it is. You're going to go to heaven and we're going to live in the New Jerusalem, right? You know, a city. You know that big, you've heard people talk about heaven and the golden street and the pearl and all that. All right, here it is. And I saw a new heaven and a new earth, for the first heaven and the first earth were passed away, and there was no more sea. And I, John, saw the holy city, New Jerusalem, coming down from God out of heaven, prepared for a bride adorned for her husband. The New Jerusalem comes down out of heaven and rests upon this earth, and there it stays for eternity. The most amazing thing in the scripture is to find out that God originally planned to have his throne on earth. And this dumpy looking place that just stinks and smells really was ordained above the heavens. And it fell and was corrupted. And then God said, I'm going to have my throne where it belongs. And God sent man to take the earth back from his enemy. And God wants to move heaven to earth. And it's going to be a new earth. And you just, if you're in heaven, sister, I know this came to me as a great shock one day to find out that if I'm heaven, I'm going to be all alone. And I'm going to just be in a dinky spot because God will have moved out of heaven and moved to earth. And he will be one with man. And in my Father's house are many abodes. That house is nothing but the New Jerusalem. And the New Jerusalem is nothing less than you and me and Jesus Christ and God the Father all made one.
Well, when the day of rapture comes, that's when Christ calls his bride and takes her home to heaven. That's what it says in the Bible.
It says key.
And the earth is left with the unsaved on it.
It says, sister.
Tribulation period.
Okay, now then, sister, I'm going to go along with you. I'm going to talk your language. It may be for 5 or 6 or 7 years. We'll walk around in heaven.
I think so. That room Bible.
Take a look at it. Kind of say, gee, that's going to be kind of neat. It doesn't say we go there. It says he takes us to the sky. It doesn't say he takes us to heaven. It really doesn't. We just go into the sky. That's all it says. But anyway, okay, maybe 6 or 7 years, we'll hang around in heaven, and then the Lord's going to descend to earth and set up his kingdom.
Well, that's all right with me, but I give up.
Oh, Terry. I don't remember where I was now, but anyhow, praise the Lord. There is at this moment a kingdom in heaven where the Lord God Almighty rules and reigns. And that is the kingdom of heaven. And God is going to have it on earth. And he has brought the first fruit of it as a seed in Jesus Christ, who came upon this earth and ruled over man and fallen angel. And then on the day of Pentecost, the kingdom of heaven came upon men. And that is a foretaste of the kingdom of God reigning in the universe. The church is nothing less, according to the Ephesians, the foretaste of the kingdom of God on earth. Praise the Lord. And when a man saw this treasure hidden on the earth, he bought it. And the church of the Lord Jesus Christ is the kingdom of God, heaven. I am in a subversive organization underground. And my part and purpose on this earth is no less than the overthrow of every government on this planet.
And so, and it's so.
It's a pearl. It's a pearl. Now, sister and brothers, a pearl is something transformed. It was a little grain that damaged an oyster, and the oyster formed a pearl. And brothers and sisters, that pearl is something of the Church of the Lord Jesus Christ. That pearl is heavenly. There is no question about it. The Church of the Lord Jesus Christ doesn't have one earthly thing. It is utterly and totally heavenly, and so are we. And our spirits have not yet touched ground. Our spirits are still in the heavens. That's the kind of incredible thing. Gee, we're covering an awful lot here tonight. Brothers and sisters, I only have one other thing to say to you, and that is gauge where you are by two or three things. The tenderness of your heart for the Lord to grow out of your spirit into your heart. Brothers, I really say, where are you in relationship to the kingdom of God? And you can know how, where your heart is. Brothers and sisters, the Lord can... What have I been talking about here? The importance of the heart. The heart is no less than the very soil in which Jesus Christ must grow. I got one other verse to share with you, and you just ain't never heard nothing like this. Praise the Lord. Oh, brother, praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Going to read you a verse of scripture which you probably heard before. I don't think there's a person in this room, not a one, maybe with the exception of Brother Dick Ballou, who knows what I'm going to tell you. And the only reason Dick knows is because I've already told you. Revelation 3:20.
Hey, my friend.
All right, brothers and sisters. Behold, I stand at the door and knock. And if anyone hear my voice and open the door, I'll come into him and will feast with him and he with me. Now, brothers and sisters, the word dine just no good. The word should be feast. The Lord doesn't dine. When the Lord comes along, it's a banquet. It's a festival. All right. Brothers and sisters, there's not anyone in this room but what could quote this verse of scripture, whole and complete. I want you to notice that there is here again the speaking voice. The speaking voice. Brothers, may the Lord give the church in Goleta, California, the heart to hear that really responds to the voice. Oh, brothers, that loosens the soil and lets the Lord grow into the heart. This verse of scripture says, behold, I stand at the door and knock, and everybody in this room knows that this passage of scripture was not written to unconverted people. And it is not written to the church. It is written to those within the church. Behold, I stand at the door and knock. If any man hear my voice and open the door, I'll come into him and sup with him and he with me. Praise the Lord. All my life, I saw the picture of the Lord Jesus standing out there trying to get in to the man's heart. Oh, open the door and let me in. Brother, that's not the way it is at all. It's not that way at all. The Lord Jesus Christ is deep inside, and he's knocking, and he's asking, let me out.
Put me out of the back. I'll get you out of the back.
I'll take you where I go. In the spirit, and they will.
The
secrets, and there we will live.
Brother, you start off with a boy, then a knocking. And you respond, and you open the door. Let's stay. Where is...